All right, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you. I'll be speaking today about a population definition of a screening tool that we've been developing to identify adults with chronic health care needs in national health care service. Next slide, I have the disclosure to the report. And so we began this line of inquiry about 8 years ago with a whole series of secondary analyses that we did from the MEPS and the NHS and other data sources. And we were really looking across a wide kind of slate of issues. We were looking at folks that were uninsured with chronic conditions and disabilities. We were looking at racial and ethnic disparities in their care. We were looking at access to the medical home and so forth. So a whole series of projects all aimed kind of at this intersecting point between having a chronic condition on the one hand versus having a disability on the other. And we kept bumping up against this problem over and over again, which was that there really wasn't a good population-based measure. So there certainly is for children with special health care needs, but there was nothing like that for adults. And so it really was sort of hampering our work. And more we came to the conclusion, well, let's move forward and do the measurement work here to see if we can adapt, you know, that kind of an approach. So next slide, we went ahead and assembled an expert measurement panel at NIH. So we had scientists from across the country, and each of them brought something unique and wonderful to the work. It was sort of pretty much the biggest professional honor of my life to be involved with this crowd. So we had, you know, folks that were clinical specialists, folks that worked in mental health really well, folks that knew psychometrics, folks that knew health survey research and design, and more. The other thing you'll note from some of the faces up there, like Christina Bell, Stephen Blumberg, and Robert Altman, and so forth, these are folks that were well-versed and certainly understood the children with special health care needs measure. Christy Bethel had also already done some preliminary work thinking about how that might be adapted to adult populations. And so we got this group assembled. And let's go ahead and go to the next slide. So we charged this group with the following kind of purpose. We wanted them to develop a population-level definition and a screening instrument that we could use in health survey research, and so that we could provide the health services research community with some new capacities. Those would be to actually directly identify working-age adults with chronic health care needs in a consistent manner, and to be able to do prevalence estimation on that population accordingly. We wanted to be able to estimate the type and the level and the extent of actual health care needs and service use in that population, so we wanted to be able to do something that addressed needs and needs assessment. And third, by planning and working together and networking and sort of stumbling our way forward, hoping to be able to include this screener in more extensive surveys. And if we could do that, we would be able to provide all kinds of further estimates on adults with chronic health care needs. So if it was the MEPS or the NHS, we could do all kinds of different process or outcome measures among adults with chronic health care needs. And one other thing that's important to note up front, we also knew going into this based on some secondary data analyses that we had done, that we were likely looking at a very large population, I think upwards of 40, maybe even 50% of working age adults, potentially having, you know, sort of one or more chronic healthcare conditions that require ongoing, you know, sort of medical services. So we were also thinking from the get-go about it's going to be really important to be able to pull out subgroups from this population to be able to analyze. Most notably, people with disabilities, yes, we wanted to be able to do that. And moreover, meaningful subgroups of people with disabilities. So, next slide. We began our work as a panel. Let's see. Yeah. Right where you hoped that we would. We started with the scope of literature review. We came up with five research questions. We developed the inclusion and exclusion criteria for each. All of us were up to it in actually designing the methods for the review and reviewing the papers themselves and what's gathered and so forth. Let's go to the next slide. There's no way that I'm going to be able to do justice to five broad research questions and several hundred articles that were summarized. But here's just a few headlines for you. First off, we learned chronic health conditions are identified and measured in all kinds of different and sometimes conflicting ways. So there are folks that do this literally one condition at a time, so you can find all kinds of stuff about people that have arthritis, or all kinds of things about people with diabetes. Then there are folks that try to look more from a secondary condition sort of approach, and that'll be something that many of you are familiar with. There are folks that look at ambulatory sensitive conditions, that is, those conditions that if you don't attend to them, you may end up with a person in the emergency room or end up with a person hospitalized. There's folks that take the multiple chronic condition sort of approach, two or more conditions at the same time. Comorbidity indices of the Charleston, Charleston Index, and all of those. Closed condition list, open condition. So you see where I'm going here. It's the literature is messy. Taking the broadest of those possible views, I guess where I would land is that we learned that about 50% of working age folks are going to have one or more chronic conditions that you know we can expect to last for or persist for a year or more, and that will affect either their functioning or their ongoing healthcare service utilization or needs. We also learned that the healthcare service needs of people with chronic conditions are incredibly variable. So you have folks that are just, you know, they have hypertension, they don't have any other conditions going on, they do need to be monitored, they do need to be on the correct medications, but that's pretty much it. Versus folks that are having daily encounters with specialists, landing in the ED all the time, being hospitalized and so forth. And so we have this full range of people that are really intense users of care, all the way down to folks that are one step above just going in, you know, to see your doctor once a year for your annual checkup, but maybe not many steps above that. The majority of folks that have one or more chronic conditions do not have the functional limitations associated with disability, and that's really important. On the other hand, virtually all people with disabilities have at least one chronic medical condition. And with disability comes much higher rates of service utilization, particularly when ADLs or IDLs are common ones. And despite the obvious overlap, there's a deep divide in the health services literature between studies that focus on people with chronic conditions on the one hand and those focused on people with disabilities on the other. So, let's go to the next slide. We work iteratively with, the panel to test the assumptions and ideas for each of these domains, for the service areas that we looked at, for question design alternatives, and kept returning to do quantitative analyses to test our assumptions and our ideas. So we had a number of different data sources that we used for that. We can go to the next slide. This is just an example of one of the kinds of analyses that we did. So this is an area proportional Venn diagram. Maybe a little bit hard to see, but Amanda Riegert and I did this together from MEPS data. And just the takeaway points from it, you have this very large sized population of folks that have one or more chronic conditions. It's about 97 million people amongst the working age. People with disabilities are, for the most part, a smaller subset of people with chronic conditions, but there's still a very large group in their own right. You know, you're looking at some, and I know anytime you do an economist cut like that, it's seeming, but 31 million odd people. High healthcare utilization is almost exclusively going to people that have one or more chronic conditions. However, only about 1 in 5 people with one or more chronic conditions actually report high healthcare utilization. So this is the point I raised earlier. There are a lot of those that have chronic conditions that are not necessarily high-end users. And that point of ultimate intersection there, where you have chronic condition and disability and high utilization, very disproportionately high in folks that have ADL or IDL disability. Not surprising at all. So let me do another quick slide. This is another sort of example of some of the quant work that we did. This sort of addresses the need to think about how will we stratify this group, this very large group of people. So the panel asked us to drill down into all kinds of service users, actually. I just pulled out some key indicators here. So we're going to look at fare for overall health, fare for mental health, hospitalizations, and ED visit. And we have these four groups going along the bottom axis. And we start off with folks that have no chronic condition or disability. Just sort of, and don't worry about trying to look at each individual bar, just look for the overall, very obvious pattern here. So when you start off with no chronic condition, no disability, you know, you're under 10% of all the indicators. As you work your way over into being a person with a chronic condition, you know, with a disability, but it's not affecting your ADLs or IDLs, you've popped up a little bit, and then when you finally get to the folks that are having ADL or IDL, if you take the same kind of subgroup approach and look across, I don't care whether you look at prescription medications or physical therapy, any of the sort of allied sort of services, you keep seeing these very significant differences between these groups, suggesting that we might be onto something that could be useful when we start thinking about how are we going to subgroup adult chronic healthcare needs. Okay, let's go. Enough preamble. So this is the definition that the panel came to. Adults with chronic healthcare needs are those adults with ongoing physical, cognitive, or mental health conditions, or difficulties functioning, who need health or related support services of a type or amount beyond that needed by other adults of the same sex and similar age. And again, you'll note that that sounds very similar, but with some unique twists as well, to the children with special health care needs. Let me make a few points of clarification about that, so next slide. So this definition is intentionally broad. We're expecting to capture a big population with this, that's the point. ongoing, the term that I used, is defined as lasting or expected to last 12 months or more. That's simply because it's the convention, both the Children with Special Health Care Needs Screener. There's also the Health and Human Services Strategic Framework definition of chronic conditions, and we're trying to stay the same with that. Another key point, health conditions may or may not be, this is really important, health conditions may or may not be currently active or formally diagnosed. There are all kinds of really important health conditions under the sun, like depression or multiple sclerosis, where symptoms are going to wax or wane kind of over time, where you may be asymptomatic for a time, but where your need for continued treatment or monitoring is still occurring, right? So folks that have those kinds of conditions and who still need ongoing medical care or services to stay well are absolutely people that we want to fall in under this definition. As for the formal diagnosis piece, that's just a nod to the fact that many of whom we want to include under this definition may not have access to medical care or diagnostics. Let's actually go forward two slides and let's talk about the screener itself. As you can imagine, some portions of the definition that I laid out, they should be fairly directly measurable in a survey context, and some parts you just can't get to. And so our job as a panel was to kind of sort through which of these are things that we can actually inquire about. First, we had to balance kind of the competing needs for brevity and coverage. We had to think about meaningful subgroup stratification. We had to pay equal attention to screening in and screening out, so sensitivity and specificity. We had to think about what respondents can actually tell us versus what we as researchers would like to know. We had to compose meaningfully different competing questions in each domain that we then ran through cognitive testing. But so this was sort of the work that we had to do. So now, if we're just talking about the screener itself, so this instrument version has been put through cognitive testing. And let's start with health and mental health conditions. So in the Children with Special Health Care Needs Screener, each health consequence is followed up by questions to either confirm that consequence was because of the condition lasting or expected to last 12 months or longer. What we learned in our cognitive testing was that kind of repetition was unnecessary. And so we inquired just this one time about health and mental health conditions. So we asked, do you have any medical mental health or other health condition that has lasted or is expected to last for at least 12 months? If the respondent answers yes, then we follow up with, do you have two or more of these ongoing health conditions? So in this way, we can use any chronic condition as the primary screen, but also follow up with a handle for stratification later on, asking about two or more conditions. Next slide. So as to difficulties functioning, the next sort of domain that we're paying attention to, you will recognize these items immediately. They're the ACS-6 questions. Reinventing disability measurement simply made no sense to our panel. And there was basically unanimous support for the idea of incorporating these items of hearing, vision, cognition, mobility, and ADL, IADL directly into your screener. The other nice thing that we know is that these have already been cognitive tested, and so we're feeling pretty confident about the use. you go to the next slide. So now we get into the health services questions that are part of the screener. Let me make just some general notes, and then I'll walk you through the five service areas. We began testing. Let me fast forward a little bit and just walk right through each of these questions. Our first one straight up is just, do you see medical doctors about your health often? Please do not include an annual checkup in your response. And if the answer to that should be no, we follow with the question, are you often unable to see a medical doctor when you need to? So what we're up to here is we follow each question about use with a separate question about unmet need. And we only ask it of those people that answered first no on the use question. That's a conservative approach, and the idea is to filter out people that may have lower levels of unmet need, to focus instead on people that literally are lacking front door access to the service. Next question would be, do you use prescription medicine regularly, other than vitamins or birth control pills? We also ask about how many prescription meds are being used. Let's go to the next slide. Now, we certainly researched and thought in depth about all kinds of alternatives for screening for mental health problems, but we came to the conclusion that we were forced at the end of the day not to try to directly diagnose mental health conditions on a brief screener, but that the best we can do is ask directly about the use of services. So we end up with the question, do you use mental health treatment or support, such as counseling or substance abuse services? And if no, do you need mental health treatment or support? And do not receive them. We follow that with two questions, one on medical related therapies, and then medical equipment or assistive devices. So those are our major domains. And I'm going to skip all the way now to, let's go to slide 20. That's fine. So anyway, overall, it's our hope that the definition is here is going to push health services research increasingly in the kind of a person-centered direction as opposed to disease-centered. We need this kind of broad continuum denominator if we're going to understand how the proliferation of new programs and and healthcare users is actually affecting this population and be able to do that longitudinally over time. We also need policy relevant and actionable subgroups that cut across diagnosis and that focus on the health services needs and functional difficulties with which people, right, and not conditions, actually live. So thanks very much, and I look forward to hearing my colleagues.